Hey guys, it's Jill. I wanted to give you a heads up on the content about today's episode. It is very sensitive for listening, so please take care while you listen. Refer to the show notes. There is discussions of rape and murder, so please take care while you listen.
On this episode of Common Mystics, we discuss the tragic murder of a young mother in the early 2000s. I'm Jennifer James.
I'm Jill Stanley.
We're psychics.
We're sisters.
We are Common Mystics. We find extraordinary stories in ordinary places. And this story takes us to Victorville, California.
Yes. Before we start, as we usually do, I just want to say that this is a more recent story. And because of that, Jen and I, to protect the family that is still being affected by this tragedy today, we are changing the names of the characters of the story or the heroes of the story. And we are not going to use any visuals because we don't want any reverse Googling, if I can speak. So I just want to give you a heads up. This is a more recent story, but it's clear by our hits that we are meant to tell it. We also reached out to the family. We did not get a response. So just know that as we go through the content on today's show. Hi, Jen.
Hi.
We were leaving beach.
Where we stayed.
And we filmed a short video in the parking lot of a Best Buy. Do you remember the content of that said video?
I believe we posted it on our socials.
Yes.
And I do recall the unfortunate situation that had occurred.
Do you want to?
I really don't.
I think we should. I think we should talk about it again because it is iconic at this point. So.
Yes.
Please send me back to the day on Venice Beach when we were walking together, when we were out for a stroll.
So we were staying on Venice Beach, and I have to say, I really liked Venice Beach.
I liked it too.
I liked it a lot. A lot of the people that reached out to us, upon hearing we were staying at Venice Beach, they were not very complimentary.
I personally really dug the neighborhood vibe.
Tell me why. We made friends.
Well, okay. So every morning to get Jennifer out of bed and all perky, I would have to walk to the Starbucks down the way, which was very nice. And I made friends along the way. There was gentlemen drinking coffee at a little diner every morning, reading the paper. It was really cute, a group of old men. There was a very sweet transient that was at the end of the alley that was very kind. And we, as I was walking past his house, he was very sweet. Like, we made eye contact, we smiled every morning. So, yeah, I made a lot of friends.
Yeah. We felt at home there. It wasn't too posh for us.
It wasn't too fancy. It wasn't too grimy. It was the perfect amount.
It was appropriately grimy. I felt comfortable with the grime factor. But I think there are people there from all walks of life, from all social strata. And on this particular day, Jill, we were walking along Venice Beach just to experience it.
Just to go for a walk.
On the boardwalk, because we weren't staying on the boardwalk. We were staying a little south of the boardwalk, I believe.
Yes. Yes. Look at you.
And so we walked north along the path to to the boardwalk. And Jill, do you know the opening of Three's Company?
Yes, you told me this. Come and knock on my door.
Yeah, that, you know, that part where John Ritter,
Jack Ritter. It's John, but his character is Jack in the
show. He's riding the bicycle along the beach path. That was Venice Beach.
I know, you told me.
I know, but I didn't tell the world, did I?
You did not tell the world until now. Now the world knows.
Anyway, so you and I were walking along Venice Beach, and we had come off of a recent conversation about needing to do more video. Do you remember this?
Yes.
Like this is a... hence this. Hence you and us being here together today. Anyway, so we were talking about video and video editing and how much time that takes. And so I thought it was quite fortuitous when we were walking along the boardwalk at Venice Beach and there was a gentleman with a setup, a cardboard sign to be specific, that, I don't know, paint maybe? Paint,
magic a marker. Magic marker, black, thick magic marker.
It said, will edit yo apps. Okay.
And is that what it said?
That's what I thought it said. Okay. It was not a well done sign. And so I looked at it and I remember saying to you, Jill, look at this man here. He's obviously hard up, right? Because it looked like he was set up there like for a long period, right? It looked mm-hmm. like his life belongings at the moment mm-hmm. were with him. And mm-hmm. I thought, oh my gosh, he does editing. Should we ask him if he will edit our, he says he does apps. He'll edit our apps. Could we ask him perhaps if he
I had to restrain you from approaching the fine, I'm sure he was a fine gentleman, because his sign actually said.
That's not what it said.
No, that what is did not it say? What the
sign did it say, Jill? What did it say?
It said, "Will eat yo ass."
Yes.
For dollar signs.
Yes. The S's yeah. and ass were dollar signs. Mm-hmm. So that's, can you see why I thought those were like
no.
P's?
No.
Because
I know.
Of the lines. Anyway.
Okay. And you know what else I find really amusing about this is that you actually believed the man who is living on Venice
you know
Beach
what? I know
would
where
have
this is going.
The means to get to a computer, to get to online.
He might have had a phone. You do all your editing on your phone.
And to edit our videos.
Anyway,
and you were like, this seems like a good idea.
Anyway, yeah, that's not what the sign said. And then didn't I feel foolish? But I never did have a conversation with him, luckily.
I should have let you.
You should have let me and then recorded it, because that would have been
so
humiliating.
Bad. Why?
But entertaining.
Why didn't I let you?
Anyway, so we left Venice Beach and we were exploring the area as we do.
You know what we do.
You know what we do. And
what do we do, Jennifer?
We have an intention, which is to find verifiable stories previously unknown to us that allow us to give voice to the voiceless. That's what we do. We reach out to the spirits. We want to tell people stories. We want to tell people stories, especially if their stories are underreported, misunderstood, etc. That's what we do. So
we were headed northeast, and we decided we were going to go to Victorville.
We were pulled to Victorville. What were you getting in the car psychically?
I was getting a mean-ass motherfucker, like someone who was just ruthless just to be ruthless. Cruel. Mm. What were you getting? Oh, I was also getting a name that started with the letter R.
Okay.
That was associated with our story.
I was getting assault and murder. And I was tuned in to every mall that we drove past.
Yes. And that was one of the highlights. We drive past so many malls and we're never like, oh, shopping center. But in this day, not only were we talking shopping centers, but you were also noting it in the notes.
Yeah, that's unusual. I don't usually write down the stores that we go past, but I wrote down Macy's Mall, which was in hindsight, very telling, but I didn't know why I did that. I was just pulled. My attention was pulled there. And so I wrote it down. And tell me about Spanish names.
You and I were both having a conversation about like a name that sounded Spanish, an ethnic name from the Spanish language, but it felt like a breadcrumb, but it was like we wanted to say it, but we don't speak, and we're like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. All right, what about Route 66?
Dude, we were obsessed with Route 66. We were obsessed with finding it and staying on it. And it turns out, because we're fools, we were on it the whole time, but we didn't know it.
It's not well marked.
No, not in some places. Yeah. Not in the newer parts.
Yeah. I was just talking to my friend Jenny B, about this. And I love she Jenny said B. that it's very, because of the way Route 66 from Chicago to LA has been developed over the years, it's really hard to stay on it because mm-hmm. certain parts are now stretches of different routes and streets.
That's and exactly what happened ways. To us.
Yeah. And then if you want to actually take it, you can't a lot of times because the original route is no longer in use. But also you have to pay online. You can find a map of like how to like ride the most authentic route possible, but you've got to pay for a special map. They don't just publish it. Yeah.
Oh,
so anyway,
wow.
we found out that we had been riding on Route 66, driving on Route 66.
We also then got off at, and help me with the name of this town.
Hesperia?
Yes. And we were looking around and we needed to get gas. And again, what did you mark down?
Another mall.
Another mall.
I was obsessed with malls. Not only that, but the feeling of a body dump. I got the feeling of a body dump.
So a secondary crime scene where someone would discard of a body.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we had some research to do.
You took the lead on this.
Yeah, and I found in the local paper the unfortunate murder of a young mother named Sarah, who okay. we're calling Sarah.
Right.
And the case remained unsolved.
Now, you knew this was our story, you said.
Yes. I had a fight for this because
you
it's
did.
Very recent.
And I and do not like to do recent stories.
It's very uncomfortable. Literally, this story is still impacting the lives of the
people
family
are still
today.
Mourning. People yes. are still mourning this loss. That's what makes yes. me feel so uncomfortable. We weren't able to talk to the family about it. Anyway, so should we talk about Sarah and who she was?
Yes, I want to talk about
okay.
Sarah.
And what happened to Sarah? Okay, so Sarah was born in 1968 in Royal Oak, Michigan.
Hello, Royal Oak. Yes, she is.
Mm. In 1992, she got married. So she was a married woman. 1992, 68, 78, 88. So she was about 24 when she got married. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Me. That's yeah. a respectable age.
Yeah. That's when yeah. you got married. 23,
no, I was
24.
25. I was 25.
You old when you got married? Just kidding.
Really?
How old were you? I was 31. I was all ancient. I was like, marking down the aisle.
I remember being 25 and thinking that I was getting married late and that people in their 30s who got married were so old. Like, I remember that was an actual thought that I had. And now I'm like,
society in your brain.
Y'all are babies. If you're not 40, y'all are babies. And even if you're like in the baby end of 40, you're still babies.
And you know what else? I want to say this. If you're 40 and you're not married, don't. Don't.
Ain't no reason. Ain't no
you don't
reason.
Need, you don't need that drama. You don't need to be hitched. Trust. Trust an old psychic. Trust.
Okay. All right. Okay. Moving on. So she was married and she had a stepson. And then she and her husband had a little boy as well.
Of their own.
Yes. So two children. And at the time of our incident, the family was living in Adelanto. I'm probably saying that wrong. Don't come for me. Adelanto, California.
Okay? Get it?
Shut up. And she was a nursing.
Recently, she was recently accepted at the Victor Valley Community College as a nursing student.
Yeah, so she was a nursing student. So exciting. And she was actually going to start in the fall of 2001.
Yes, but in the meantime.
Degree. In the meantime, she was working at the local mall, the Victor Valley Mall in Victorville.
At a department store.
I used to work at a department store in a mall.
You did.
You?
You were the
you?
Clinique girl. Yeah, I did, actually.
Where did
I
you
did.
Work?
Macy's. Did you forget?
Yeah,
you
I did.
Forgot.
I
you
did.
Literally
what?
Forgot. You're
what
like,
department?
You're like, I was working at a department store. Yes, I was. You were flexing. Like, Yeah.
I was. Yeah. What department did you work in? Clothing?
The home goods.
Home goods.
Mm-hmm.
I was cosmetics.
Yes, you were the Clinique girl.
I was a Clinique girl.
But you used Lancôme, slut.
Shh, you're not supposed to say that.
I said it.
When I worked Clinique, I only used Clinique.
Ding, ding.
Anyway, so she worked at a store called Mervyn's department store. Never heard of it.
Yeah, it's like a Kohl's is my understanding, or like a Sears of the time.
Okay. So she's working in a department store in Victorville, Mervyn's, and there is a terrible tragedy.
Right.
Okay. It was April. So
take me there.
It was April 13th, 2001, and Sarah was at first spending time with her sons, and then in the evening, she went to work at Mervyn's department store.
In
the Victor Valley Mall.
And we already discussed what Mervyn's was.
Right. Like a Kohl's, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. So around 8:30 p.m. So it's getting dark. It's an hour before sunset.
Mm-hmm.
It was Sarah's break. Now, I have to say there's conflicting information about why she left the store. Some of the sources say that she had left for a break. Some of the sources say she left because it was the end of her shift. But in any event, she told her coworkers she was leaving, and she left, and she went into the parking lot. And some reports say that she had been using her cell phone.
You know that shit was a Nokia? You know what I'm talking about?
I never had a Nokia.
What,
are those flip phones?
No, this is before flip phones.
Oh, little and fat then, ones?
Yes, they're
little
look fat
like
ones.
Bricks?
Mm-hmm. Yes, with a little baby nugget of a antenna.
Oh,
and
yeah,
then you would,
yeah.
And then you would play the snake game on it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You think that's what she was doing, playing snake?
She had to be. I know I would be.
Unfortunately, she was never seen alive again by either her coworkers or her family. Later that night, her husband had expected her to come home. He did think that she was going to be late because she was planning on stopping for Easter candy after work that night. But she never returned home. And so in the early morning hours of April 14th, 2001, her husband reported her missing to the local police.
Mm.
A day later, on April 15th, 2001, her car was discovered. It was behind a Big Five sporting goods store near the mall where she worked. By the way, her stepfather had found the car.
Yeah, because her family was all hands on deck looking for her.
Wouldn't you be?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Here's the thing. Her purse was in the car. Her ID was in the car. That tells me that it probably wasn't like a robbery, because usually don't they like take the purse and then they shuffle through the purse later and dump it somewhere?
Yeah, and it also tells me that she didn't leave willingly, because you don't leave your purse. If you're a woman, you don't leave your purse at a bar to go to the bathroom.
No.
You're definitely not going to leave your purse in the car.
Investigators also found, by looking over the car, that there had been a physical struggle.
Mm.
Detectives believed that the vehicle had been moved from its original location because Sarah normally parked near Mervyn's.
Yeah, why wouldn't she? That's where she was working.
Yeah. And whoever abducted her had likely repositioned the vehicle in an effort to delay discovery or mislead investigators. So for the next several days, detectives searched for Sarah. And they also interviewed her coworkers, her family members, and anyone that they thought might have crossed paths with her. And the investigation expanded throughout the Victor Valley area. as authorities try to determine whether she had been targeted by someone she knew or if it had been a stranger who had assaulted and abducted with her.
I think they always start with the people you knew and then kind of...
Yeah. So despite the public location of her disappearance, there were no witnesses. At least no witnesses came forward to say anything at all. Mm. And then she herself was found following day on April 16th, 2001. Sarah's body was discovered in a remote desert area near the intersection of Mariposa Road and Ranchero Street and Hesperia. It was isolated and it was known as an illegal dumping area.
That poor woman.
Investigators determined that she had been kidnapped. She had been assaulted sexually and she had died from a single gunshot wound to the head. Poor Sarah.
I'm glad she put up a fight.
True. That it was just 3 days after her disappearance that she was found.
Well, that's something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it sucks, but at least you had a knowing, like there's a finality to it.
Yeah. Apparently, she was found because there was a man that was looking for treasure in this area that people just dumped and he found her. I mean, good thing he was going through the trash there looking for treasure. Yeah. You know, that's something I would do. I love going through other people's shit. Anyway, so, I mean, Victorville, did it had a lot of crime? I think you did some research on this. It had a fair amount of crime.
Well, I think that that's a fair question.
But what city doesn't? But what city doesn't?
I think that's a fair question, though. You know what I mean? Like, there are different areas of Chicago that
if someone
was kidnapped and brutally assaulted and murdered, I would be like, well, okay. You know what I mean? Like,
all right.
Why were you in that area? Like,
well, I mean, Victorville back in 2001, when our crime occurred, it did have crime involving property crime, auto theft, gang violence, drug activity. I mean, again, your basics, right? In any city.
Any suburb.
Yeah. Some more than others. But yeah, it had a higher crime rate than Hesperia, Victorville did. But anyway, today, Victorville's crime rate is a little higher than some of other California communities. I mean, take it or leave it, you know.
It didn't seem unsavory when we were there. I don't remember feeling scared when we were there.
No, I don't either. That's a good point.
Yeah.
But we also felt at home on Venice Beach.
True. With the ass-eating vagrant.
And the transients who, you
know, said, kind.
Good morning to you.
Every morning.
Yes.
Every morning.
Yes. So, shall we talk about the investigation?
I think we should.
Detectives spent months pursuing leads and collecting evidence from the crime scene, the vehicle, investigating her personal effects and information about her. And there were numerous interviews that were conducted. Numerous people of interest were examined. And despite all their efforts, they were unable to produce a single viable suspect. Mm. As months turned into years,
I cannot.
The trail grew cold.
That's agonizing. See, now that's agonizing.
And Sarah's murder joined the ranks of Southern California's unsolved cases. That is agonizing.
Yeah, poor Sarah and her family.
Yeah. In May of 2001, the Daily Press out of Victorville, California, were reporting rumors of a serial murderer who was on the loose. Now, you did some research on this. Did you find any evidence that there was a serial murderer
absolutely not.
In the area in the time?
No, absolutely not. And I think that this crime was so scary and so horrific that people were on edge and would almost want it to be a serial killer, like someone, some monster out there, yeah, than just someone in their community. Mm. That's what my thoughts are on it. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you can accept that there's an evil person more than you want to accept. It could just be anybody you know that could do mm-hmm. this. But maybe the people you know are evil serial killers. But anyway, they also reported other things about Sarah. And one of the things that they reported was that she had left work early that night mm-hmm. and that she had received several phone calls on her phone before she left.
Yeah, the police told the paper that. And to like simmer down the serial killer talk.
Okay. Oh, so she insinuating that she had known the person, yes, or maybe was going to meet the person who then would be her killer.
It seems like that to me. And it kind of pissed me off.
Because
it's victim shaming in a way. Being like,
it's
no,
blaming.
No, no.
Yeah. Yes. Blaming the victim.
Yes.
In a
like
way.
She was involved with something. She left knowing the person, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? It just seems, yeah, it's just a shitty thing to do instead of being like, no, there's no serial killer, but to kind of like,
yeah,
to just bring shame upon her name like that.
Right. The sheriff official also declared that investigators did not believe it was random. Again, trying to tamper down the whole serial killer mm-hmm. randomness of this. And she knew her murderer potentially.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. Okay. So let's fast forward to November of 2003.
Okay.
Okay. November, about a year and a half.
Okay.
About a year and a half. Right? Two and a half. I don't know.
2 years. Two years.
From the time of her murder. The police were asking for tips still. Don't you hate when the police ask for tips?
I know. It's like, didn't we have someone in authority that does, I don't know, detective work? Mm. They always ask for tips here in Southwest Michigan. They're always asking for tips. If anyone knows anything, call the Silent Observer or the KDP. KDP.
What's the KDP?
Or KPD. KPD.
What's
Kalamazoo,
KPD?
Kalamazoo Police Department. Okay. Shut up. That's my dyslexia on full display.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It really makes me mad.
Yeah. Yeah. And they were also publishing that police still weren't sure if Sarah was abducted or willingly went with her assailant.
Now, that's messed up because in 2001, when they found their car, they said that there was evidence of a struggle. So why 2 years later are they implying that
she went willingly
mm-hmm, and yeah. left her purse behind?
Yeah. Yeah. That is effed up. The investigation determined that Sarah was shot and detectives learned she was kidnapped and essayed, sexually assaulted before her death. A suspect was not identified, and the case went cold until 2025.
Shut up.
It's more than 20 years later. In 2025, Sarah's case was taken up again by the cold case unit of the San Bernardino Sheriff's Department.
Okay.
And they finally identified a culprit whose first name
we're going to call
with an R.
Okay.
That's important.
That is important.
And has a very Mexican-sounding last name.
Very true.
Very Mexican-sounding last name. And, I mean, we don't know much about this individual.
No, but I was able to research some stuff online. So this is the deets that I got. He was born in 1974.
Okay. So he was older than Sarah.
Younger.
You're right. Younger than Sarah.
Mm-hmm. Younger than Sarah. He looks like he lives in, what's the name of it?
Hesperia.
For most of his life.
He lived. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. At the time of his arrest, he was 51.
Okay.
He was 6'2 and weighed 320 pounds. Now, I have to say that our Sarah, our victim, was a more petite individual.
Okay. Even if you're not a petite woman, 320 pounds, mm-hmm. there's no way. I mean, you and I talk about how we're big boned, but there's no way if a 6'2 man, 320 pounds, wanted to subdue us, he yeah. could probably subdue both of us at the same time.
But knocking our heads together.
And getting on top of us.
Ew.
320 pounds, that's a lot of pounds.
I would, the amount of struggle that I would put up on that.
Ugh. So he is currently facing charges.
He was arrested. He was arrested for her murder and rape and assault. He was arrested. Yes, he was. Just in the early part of January of 2026, he was arrested, Jennifer. And the charges he faced was...
kids snapping. That's what it says, Jill.
You really took my thunder away. You know that? It wasn't kids snapping.
That's what it says. Kidnapping, rape, murder, and kidnapping for ransom. His court date is coming up. So this is kind of a short episode because we don't have an ending.
His court date is coming up
this September.
September 18th.
Of 2026.
To face the charges of murder for poor Sarah.
He's currently being held.
Yes, he's being held. Where is he being held, Jennifer?
San Bernardino County High Desert Jail in Adelanto, California.
Doesn't look pleasant. No, it doesn't.
So intuitively, Jill, do you think Sarah knew this guy? Do you think she knew her killer? Let's start there.
I think she either was acquainted with him or thought she may have known him. Does that make sense? Have you ever met someone again? You're like, oh, I thought you were, you know, whatever, whatever. You know what I'm saying?
I think if you work in a store, you mm-hmm. see a lot of people.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
And I think she knew of him. I think she probably recognized him
mm-hmm.
as someone that she had seen before. I don't think they were friends. I don't think she was talking to him. She wasn't on the phone with him. I mean, that's just intuitively. I suppose we're going to see what comes out.
We're going to follow this case.
Yeah, we are this September. But I really don't think that she had a relationship with him or knew him well. Do you think this is the guy? I was going to ask you.
Why are you taking that out of my head? Okay, I do.
I do too.
I do. I think it's him.
Well, I mean, we got our name. We got Mexican last name.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, why do you think Sarah's coming through?
I want you to know that's not her name. So you don't have to slap yourself in the face. You're just using a different name. You're just randomly using S names.
Randomly S. Yes, exactly.
So why is Stella coming through? Is that what you're asking me?
Yes. Sally. Why is Samantha?
Mm-hmm. So I think she's coming through because I think this is an impact in her case and she's excited about it. I think she's coming through to let her family know that she's okay and she's excited about it and this is a good direction. I think he's going to get convicted.
I hope so.
I do. I really do.
I hope so. I'm very interested to follow this case and I'm sure we're going to do a follow-up.
We have to.
Yeah, to talk about the results of this trial.
And I'm going to reach back out to the family to give them our impressions.
I mean, don't harass them. If they don't want to talk to us, they want to talk to us.
But after we put out this episode, we may want to share it with them just to be like, hey, you know, this is our impressions of it. And did you have time to look at Sarah's picture?
No. Yes.
You didn't look?
Yeah, I did. Okay, I forgot that I did. God. I've been really busy.
This is a psychic shit show. Okay. So you had a chance. Do you recall any impressions you may have had when you were looking at her picture?
No.
Okay.
You didn't ask me to read her picture. Why
else am I asking you to look at her picture?
You just asked me right now. No, I didn't ask me before. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
All right, we're not going to argue about this right now. You never asked me to look at her picture and read her. Here's what I think. I think that this guy is the right guy. I really hope he's going to be convicted. I think she's coming through, like you said, because this is going to give her family peace.
Agreed. I think that she fought hard. I think that there was an element of surprise in this attack.
Yes, 100%.
I feel as if she was brokenhearted that she didn't make it home for Easter. That's what she was fighting for, to get home to Easter, to get those kids candy.
Well, and her life.
But in her head, she was like, I need to get home to the kids and the candy, like for, you know, and her life. But I would fight for candy. I would fight like hell for candy. I would.
Twinkies.
I would. I like a Twinkie. I like a good Twinkie.
They don't do Twinkies well anymore. Now they're small. I do. I can smell a Twinkie right now.
I loved everything about a Twinkie.
Like I can literally smell Twinkies right now.
I like the three dots on even the wrapper. I would.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah, I would.
I'm not a fan of the cupcakes. I think the frosting is waxy. It peels right off. It's just weird.
I like the vanilla ones because I'm trashy.
Anyway, so yeah, let's go through our hits. I think they're
see,
pretty.
See, no, I just want to say, you guys, honestly, you guys out there, we really didn't want to do this story. We don't have a conclusion to it. It was just because of our hits that were so right on that it was screaming at us. She needed a voice. She wants her family and the world to know this is the guy. She's okay. She's happy about these unfolding circumstances. What?
Okay, so you were picking up on a criminal who doesn't give any fucks.
That checks.
Our name. That Our checks. Name. On my part, assault and murder. Also, Mall and Macy's having an M name like Mervyn's. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. The fact that we even stopped at Hesperia is crazy.
Dude.
That's crazy. Worse. What?
Okay, so first, keep going. And then we'll talk about
we
it.
We stopped at Hesperia. Like, we were at Victorville and we were in Hesperia. Like, that, both of those cities are huge in this
followed.
Case.
Followed.
Come on.
We followed the direct route that he would have taken with her body.
In the car. Oh, with her my in the car. Gosh.
And we stopped at that intersection.
No.
Where she was
where
found.
Where she was dumped. Shut up. Okay. I don't know why we're talking about this, literally, because this is not what we do. We don't do modern crime stories that are in
verifiable stories previously unknown to us that gives voice to the voices. We got exactly what we asked for.
I know,
we
you
can't
guys
be like, this is too recent, so we're going to be pissing people off. We didn't say that. And
I think we're going to have a new intention moving forward, and
really?
We're going to let Spirit know we don't want modern stories.
Jennifer,
what?
We're
it
doing,
makes me very
we're
uncomfortable.
Doing Sarah,
but
good.
Then you come up with these hits, and how can I say, well, we can't talk about this when we followed the route from Victorville to Hesperia.
And we were obsessed with it. We were obsessed with it.
With that route. With that
yes.
route. Yes. Wow. Okay. Wow. All right. So we will be following up when
and there's not like
with
there's
the court
not
case.
A lot of other towns around there. We could have went east. We could have went west. We could have went, you know what I mean? But we went south and we followed
That's
the exact
crazy.
Possible
That's
route
crazy.
That
That's
he would have
crazy.
Taken.
All right. All right. Okay. Well, we're talking about
Same.
It. You won.
Okay,
you won
okay,
the argument.
Okay,
here we are. We're
okay,
talking about
here
it.
Here we are.
All right.
There you go.
Fine.
Fine.
Now what?
Court nope. date, September 18th.
All right.
We have
we'll
to be on it.
We will be on it.
We'll be on it.
We'll be on it. You'll be
we
on it.
We will be on it. Okay. I am seriously going to be on it.
All right.
So
are there
I'm
any
sorry.
Community announcements?
Yes.
Which are?
We got a review.
Is it a good one?
Is this a safe place to talk?
No. Oh, man.
The one that from 4 days ago is like the last, should be the last
Oh, the one that you see, the review that comes up when
the
you
last
look
review
us
that
up on Apple.
It should be 4 days ago, but it's not. It's like the first review. So you have to go through like years of review
That's
to find
so
this
weird.
Review. I know.
What's going on, Apple?
Apple, why are you screwing with me today, bro? Do you have it?
No.
First of all, I just want you guys to know that I sent Jennifer this review and she said to me, did you write this? This is a tarot reading title from Lana is Having Issues.
Oh, I love that. That is so cute.
She's so cute.
Anyway. Hi, Lana.
Hi, Lana. It was such a great reading. I had so much fun learning about the tarot as well. Jill was able to read me so well, and I had a great time.
Can you see why I thought you would have written that?
Yeah, but like so...
Jill is so beautiful.
Jill is the best person in the whole wide world. You should be nice to Jill as your little sister. And you should stop making fun of her kid snapping errors. You know she's dyslexic. That's rude.
All right. Okay, where can people find us?
Oh, if you're looking for us, we are now on YouTube.
Ooh.
Okay, so find us on all the social media sites at Common Mystics Pod. Check out our website at commonmystics.net. Email us for readings, Jilly doing readings, and mediumship readings, tarot readings, mentorship. My sister's amazing. Her expertise is learning how you learn and then teaching you that way so you can be psychic as fuck. That's what she does. So email us at commonmystics@gmail.com. Please also, you guys, Apple's messing with us. Okay? I don't know why the reviews are hidden. I don't know why our reviews are going down. I don't know. But I know that I need you. I need you to step up and to leave us a positive, and I stress positive review. 5 stars, please, on Apple. Please do that for me because I'm like, my heart hurts. My heart hurts when I don't hear from you guys.
We're too sensitive. Also, check us out on our Patreon page where we have extra content. And then at tier 4, which is mystical mentorship, you can join us for our monthly Zoom calls. So we would love to see you there. Thank you so much for your support. We love you all.
That's really sweet.
Okay. All right.
Wait, hold on. I have something else to say.
Please.
Because most people that aren't on Patreon are waiting 2 weeks for an episode, but there are Jen and Jill shenanigans every other week on Detours at levels
2 and 3.
2 and 3. There you go.
Yeah. So, all Thanks. Right. Yeah. All right. Okay. Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
This has been a Common Mystics Media production. Editing done by Yokai Audio, Kalamazoo, Michigan.